All right, kids. A bit of a kids chat. You ready for a kids chat? All right, come on out the front. All right. Ooh. Okay. All right, good. Excellent, well done. Hello, how are you? Thank you for coming out the front. Whoa, sorry, Dan, what am I doing? All right. Okay, now, you guys, numbers 1, 2, and 3. You reckon you can do those three things? Okay, I'm going to put 1, 2, and 3 in the format of the talk that we're going to do right now with the kids. And so I'm going to give you the opportunity to pick which way we do it. Do you want number 1 first, number 2 first, or number 3 first? Number 3. I'm hearing number 3 a lot. 3, 3, 2, 2, 2. Well, 1's losing. Looks like 2's going to go. Okay, number 2. All right, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, if you can grab your newsletters and open them up, please. And if you guys could give me a hand, because if I walk through that to that microphone, those speakers, I'm probably going to hiss. See all that stuff there? Can you bring them all out the front for me, please? No, I've never been here. You've never been here before? Well, welcome along. How are you? What's your name?
Caleb.
Caleb. Well, welcome along, Caleb. All right. Okay. Thank you very much, guys. If you want to just put them down. Okay. Just on the ground there, that'd be great. And if I'll have that plastic bag. All right, folks, in the church, if you've got your... Oh, what have you got there? What's that for? Why would someone put that in the newsletter? Because we left something out? No? Oh. All right. Everyone got one of those?
No.
No? Okay, you're going to get some of these. All right, everyone go. Everyone hold up your leaf. Hold up your leaf, yep. Okay, wave it in the air if you think Donnie's great. Excellent, very good. All right, now, this is a prayer leaf. Now, what you get the opportunity to do at number 2 is write a prayer on there. Pretty easy, hey? Any sort of prayer that you'd like to pray for us as a church, for you personally, for income, for finances, whatever you want to pray and take time, pray through. Okay, so you just write it on there. If you need pens, we've got pens. And if you need pens, the kids are here to hand out some pens if you'd like some pens. So they're available. Also, the pencils for you kids. So, Dave, can I ask you to hand one of them out to each of the kids? There you go. Just one each. Okay. So, very good. So that's number 2 in the kids' talk. Everyone has to write one out. And then during the sermon, the kids are going to come and collect all the leaves. You can't write. You can draw. You can draw something. And God knows what's on your heart if you draw something. Okay? Because that's all it's about. God knowing. You could draw something on there. You could, Lockie, you could draw a picture of me and ask God to pray for me. That'd be cool. Or you could draw a picture of Ollie.
Star Wars.
Or you can pray for Star Wars. That's good. The feedback I got on the last Star Wars movie, apparently it needs some prayer. So, yeah. Sorry, Brendan. All right, number 1 or number 3? Number 1 or number 3? Where are we going next?
Three.
Number 3. Number 3? All right, number 3. Sorry, I'm just going to pinch your chair for a second here. Okay. Seagulls, stop, we got it. Okay, now I need 2 special, thank you very much, up you come. And thank you very much, Dave, coming up. All right, these are my 2, volunteers, yep, grab a seat there. Okay, number 1, Dan, number 1. Now, Dave, you're a gentleman, aren't you? You can go first then, because he's a gentleman. Okay, you ready? I'm going to ask you some questions. You handed them out to everyone, all the people here. Everyone got a leaf? Don't forget. No, you forgot a leaf. Would you like to take a few leaves to people over there for me? Thank you. All right, you ready? Here we go. Did you choose this number or did you want number 1?
He doesn't have
Okay, I'll get... There's one on the floor there. Okay, you ready? Here's your question. What is prayer? Just in your thinking, what is prayer? Go for it. When you pray, what do you do? What would you do when you pray?
Talk to God.
Okay. In the microphone?
You talk to God.
Talk to God. Very good. That's a great answer. Excellent. All right, Dave. What is prayer?
Something that you say to God.
Something that you say to God. All right, okay. Because, yeah, give him a hand. Yep. All right. Okay. When do you pray?
Anytime.
There's not a set time that you can pray. Oh, okay. Well, let's see if that's... Is that correct? You sure? Okay. When do you pray?
Anytime.
So you can pray when you're going to bed. You can pray when you get up. You know, when I lived in Tasmania, I had a guy in my... We had a bit of a halfway house. He used to pray as soon as he woke up. You know why? Because as soon as he woke up, he opened his eyes. And the first thing he would say, this is a habit he got into, first thing he'd say, he'd go, "Praise God, I can still see." And he'd say it out aloud. And then he'd go, "Praise God, I can still hear." And he'd go through this little bit of a rotation every morning of just, "Praise God, praise God." And we'd all knew when he woke up in the morning, because all we'd hear is, "Praise God, I can still speak." And we'd go, "Praise God, we're awake." All right. Ready for this one? What sort of things do you pray for?
Anything, really.
You can pray for anything?
Yeah.
Really?
Even Star Wars.
Wow, even Star Wars, yes. What about, do you agree? Pray for anything? Okay. All right. Last question, you ready? Okay. Is there a set way that you have to sit or stand when you pray?
No.
So you can pray lying down? Yep. You can pray standing up. You can pray walking. Can you pray driving the car?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. One last question for you, Dave. Ready? When you pray, ready? When you pray, do you have to close your eyes?
No, you don't have to.
No, not if you're driving. Okay. Very good. All right. Okay. Give him a hand. Thank you very much. All right, so we're up to number one. Okay. What about number four? Did we do number four? No. Oh, it's tricky. I didn't give you number four because number four we've got to do last. You can't do number four first. All right, number one, you ready? If we're talking about prayer, which would have been helpful to start off with, wouldn't it? Because then with the prayer leaf and the questions on prayer would have made sense. But if we're talking about prayer, who in the Bible do you know that prayed? Who in the Bible that you know prayed? Anyone you know of in the Bible that prayed?
Daniel?
Daniel in the lion's den? He certainly prayed in the lion's den. Dave, what a very good name to have for this question. Who in the Bible prayed?
David,
King David, yeah, he certainly prayed. And you know, he's one of the ones that taught us a lot about prayer because his prayers aren't always joyful prayers. His prayers are everything from joyful to screaming out at God, "How long, God? How long? How long must we wait?" So he went from his great range of these emotions all about prayer. All right, anyone else got prayer? Yes?
Jonah in the whale.
He prayed in the whale. That's a great place to pray, isn't it? "Lord, get me out of here." That's good. Very done. Yes.
Jesus, when he was on the cross.
Jesus prayed when he's on the cross. That's very true. He did. He did a couple of prayers. Excellent. Yes.
You can pray on the roof.
You can pray on the roof. Who prayed on the roof?
Nobody.
No, there was. There was a guy in the book of Acts who prayed on the roof. Is there a Peter in the house? His name was Peter. And he prayed on the roof. Some would say, yeah. Well, the problem is they didn't have roofs like we had roofs. Their roofs were flat and they had rooms on top of the roofs with no roof. So you'd sit up there. That makes sense? Yeah, no, it's crazy. These Middle East people, they're funny. The way they do things. All right, number four, you ready? This is the tricky bit. I don't know how you're going to do this. Number four. I've got hole punches here. Oh, very exciting. The hole punch is only to be used on the green leaves. All right. What is it to be used on?
On a leaf.
Yeah, green leaf. All right. Now what you need to do is put the green leaf, listening in, put the green leaf in there and push it once and put a hole in it. Now what are we putting a hole in the leaf for?
So
I can hang it up on the tree. Oh, wow, well, where did that come from? I put it there. Shush you. I put it there. It's supposed to be my helper. All right. So you put a hole in the leaf. It's got a prayer on it. Then we grab this tie. So you guys are going to be busy while I'm preaching. And then I'm going to ask you a 20 question questionnaire on how I preached. All right. So then you put that on. And then we get the prayer leaf. And we're going to convert our tree into a prayer tree. What do you think it'll look like? Are you guys up for that challenge?
It'll look like all fake leaves.
It'll look like paper.
It'll look like a fake tree. It'll look like a fake tree.
All right, on that note, let's pray. Oh. Oh, I thought it was a good idea. All right, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for our kids. They keep us humble. Lord, I pray for our prayer tree that'll have all our prayers on it, and it'll be good and significant, if in some way fake. But Lord, we do pray, and our prayers are not fake. We want to pray big prayers, Lord, for a big time for us as a church, but for significant times for us as families, for birthdays, for anniversaries, for healing, for your provision. We continue to cry out to you for help. And so we pray, Lord God, that you would move in and through our time, in and around this, your time, here at Kiwanis Life. In Jesus' name. And all the kids said, amen. All right.
Let's turn this tree to fake. This tree is going to be fake.
All right, so folks, if you can write those prayers out anytime, that'll be great. Excellent. Dave, Bible reading. All right. We've got Dave down to do the Bible reading for us today. Do you want to stand up there? You don't mind? Yeah, stand up there. Look, looks good. There you go. Good man.
The Bible reading for today is from Acts chapter 1, verses 14, 24 and 25. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Then they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs. The second reading is from Acts 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer.
Let's just pray again, shall we? We're going to pray a bit today. Father God, thank you for this opportunity of coming around your table. Thank you, Father, for the example that you gave us, and thank you, Father, for the early church that continued this example. We pray, Lord God, that through this time, as we share around this table, that you would minister into our lives something incredible and something powerful. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. The book of Acts is an amazing book, isn't it? Full of incredible stories and incredible things that took place. Miracles, incredible things. We start with Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2, and most of us know some of the other verses that we usually read from those two chapters, but different to what we read today. Acts chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, we'll have a look a little bit later in the sermon, but Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through, is very incredible and significant. It talks about here, that they met together around the apostles' teaching. They met together for fellowship. So fellowship is very important. To getting to know each other is very important. Hanging out together is very important. Meeting with each other inside this place and outside the place. It's why coffee and chat is very, very important. It's why having a lunch together is very important. It's why having barbecues down at the beach and connecting and in other ways is very important, because relationship is a key for us as the body of Christ, but relationship is also the key for us into our community, the relationship that we have with one another and with our friends and our families. The other thing that they did was they broke bread together. They broke bread together. And the other part was that they prayed. And they prayed. We're going to break bread together just now. Some of the commentary writers differ on what the breaking the bread was about. Some just said that it was actually about having a meal together. But because Acts chapter 2 is very close to the end of Jesus' life and the Last Supper, they do believe that there's a tie in there, that the breaking of the bread was something significant that Jesus had put in place on the last night that he walked this earth for all of us to remember. And in this breaking of the bread around a general meal that took place with the Passover were two main elements, the wine or the cup and the bread, both significant for us as Christians to take hold of. The wine, or in our taste, the grape juice, symbolizing Jesus' blood, and through his blood, the atonement of our sin, his death, and his resurrection. The bread, symbolizing his body that he gave willingly to go to the cross. The prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, that he would follow his Father's leading and be obedient unto death on a cross. And everything that went before it, the damage to his body, the stripes, the crown of thorns, the beatings, the carrying of the cross, and then eventually his death upon the cross. Things for us to remember, because each of those stages are important for you and for me. Our sin is forgiven. That's important for each and every one of us to know that. By his stripes we are healed. It is important for us to know about the healing that God has for you and for me. The crown of thorns, to know that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In the side, the spearing of his body. Important for us to know the different things. And as it was pointed out, even on the cross, through that pain and that suffering, Jesus prayed, cared for his mother and a disciple, and he cared for those who are actually doing things to him. Put him on the cross. Pray. So when we come together, which we're going to do right now, and we grab the bread and we remember it, and we remember what Jesus has done for each and every one of us, it's important that we remember and are thankful. So can I have the team come, and we'll take time to have the cup and the bread. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity of prayer. We thank you that, as the young people said, we can pray anywhere at any time, and standing or eyes closed or eyes open. And we thank you, Father, that you give us this gift and this opportunity that is in our hands and in our abilities. No matter what we've done or where we've been, we can pray. We can cry out to you as we heard about Jonah in the belly of the whale. We can cry out to you as Jesus on the cross. We can cry out to you as Daniel in the lion's den. Or we could be like David and cry out some of the most amazing, loving prayers that just are filled with glory to you, Almighty God. So thank you for prayer. And Father, for us as Kiwanis Life, I pray you would take us on a journey of prayer. And I pray, come Holy Spirit, teach us to pray. Just before we pray into this time, I just want to say thank you to Sarah and the team. As you may have heard, my voice is all over the place and my head is much the same. And even though Sarah gave me a very good run sheet, I have changed it on her. So thank you to Sarah and the team. You wouldn't have known all the mistakes I've made, would you? Nah. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are indeed an awesome God, a God who is good and a God who loves us dearly, and a God who has amazing things for us to be a part of. Father, I pray that you would awaken us today to the amazing things that you do have for each and every one of us. In Jesus' name. Amen. How many people love the book of Acts? You love the book of Acts? I love the book of Acts. It's just an amazing book, so full, as I've already said, amazing things. But it challenges me because I read the book of Acts and I see things, and I'm quite visual when I read the book, and I see amazing things taking place, and I just don't see it in my life. I just don't see it flowing across in my ministry. I just don't see it, you know, manifesting in so many ways in our Western culture here in Australia. I mean, one of the parts I've been reading just down through this week is, you know, they had handkerchiefs that they'd take around, and people got healed by being touched by handkerchiefs. It's just incredible. There was talk of shadows going across as people brought out the sick and the lame, and the shadow touched them and they got healed. There's people being struck dead for lying to the Holy Spirit. I'm just glad that one's not happening too often around the place. That would certainly cause a bit of a stir. But what is it? What is it that's different from them to us? What is it that's going on? Someone said to me the other day I could put some book reviews together after the books that I'm reading at the moment. So a quick book review is this book called 30 Years That Changed the World, the Book of Acts for Today by Michael Green. It's not really a commentary. It's actually just a whole bunch of amazing things and background into what's happening at the time of the book of Acts and who these people are. Like, I found out so much about Luke in there, which is really cool. Their lifestyle and how they were actually living when they came along. You can see it's been well used, a bit damaged. But Michael Green talks about the book of Acts, and certainly the first two chapters that we're going to just highlight a little bit of this morning, talks about three things that are the key to people's lives and the way they lived for Jesus. Because this series that we're doing this month is, prayer through the book of Acts, but it's also prayer is important if you want to be a follower of Jesus. Prayer is important if you want to be a disciple of Jesus. If you want to be serious about picking up the cross, denying yourself and dying to yourself and following him, then prayer has to be something that is important. Michael Green says there's three things that need to be: unity, prayer, and obedience. Three things: unity, prayer, and obedience. Here we go. First verse that Dave read so beautifully today, Acts chapter 1, verse 14. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. And it says this: they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary and the mother of Jesus and with his brothers. They all met together constantly in prayer. Why were they doing that? Well, one of the things Jesus last said to them was, go back to Jerusalem and wait. And what a good thing to do while you're waiting is praying. Hurry up and wait upon the Lord. You know, be strengthened by his presence as you wait upon him. But what prayers were they praying? How many people know prayers that Jesus taught the disciples? We know there's the Lord's Prayer. That's one prayer. What's another prayer that Jesus taught the disciples, or Jesus prayed that we're aware of? Anyone? There's not a lot of prayers there that we could go, oh, that's a prayer that Jesus taught the disciples. That's what we should be praying. And even the Lord's Prayer is not necessarily a prayer, but more a formula to prayer in a way that we can pray. But you certainly can pray it as it is. It's still a very, very powerful prayer as it is. You know, it's incredible. But there's not a lot of prayers. So what were they praying? Did they have E.M. Bounds' 8 volumes on prayer? No. So what commentaries were they reading, and how were they understanding what prayer should be when they were gathering together constantly? But they were praying. They were certainly praying or waiting on God. They would have had what they were used to from their tradition, from the Jewish side of things for sure. The other thing in this little verse is very important for us to understand is that they were constantly in prayer along with the women. Would a good Jewish man be praying with women? No. No. These guys are getting it wrong again. Book of Acts, man. People just not doing it the way it used to be done. So they met together with the women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his disciples. Why is his disciples a little bit of an eye-opener? Ah, okay. The disciples, actually, if you go back into the Gospels, you'll read that these brothers Jesus' brothers, and you can go through and find their names, quite good names. The brothers, Jesus' brothers, said he was mad. That hardly is an attribute of someone who wants to be a follower of Jesus. Although some would say being mad is a good attribute to be a follower of Jesus. But these guys were saying that Jesus was not sure of the connection there, that Jesus is their Lord and Savior. No, Jesus is my brother. Not a connection. But here they are praying. Now, David, number of years ago, I don't remember how many years ago it was, Dave, but you preached a sermon on the apostles. And you got us to break off and we did all this research about them. Mate, the apostles, the 12 apostles, including Matthias, who's coming into this verse, what a motley crew. You would not pick them as your A team. You would not go, these are the guys that are going to, I'm going to put everything about the world, the good news, everything is going to be in their hands. You just wouldn't pick them, but Jesus did. And so them to be unified together is a miracle and a half. And then you add into the mix the women, who shouldn't have been there according to their heritage, the women, and then you throw into the mix Jesus' brothers, who, wow, what happened in their lives? Some transformation was taking place all over the place here. Significant in just that one verse. So in that one verse, we see they were praying and they were unified. Something must have happened for them to all be in the one room and not ripping each other's throats out. Something God was doing was bringing them together and unified, focused in the area of prayer. The next verse shows us that they were being obedient as well. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering around 120, and said, "Brothers and sisters, the scripture had to be fulfilled in which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through David concerning Judas, who served as a guide for those who arrested Jesus, and he was one of the number who shared in our ministry." And it talks about how he died. And then it goes on a little bit later that they nominated two men, Joseph, Barsabbas, also known as Justice, and Matthias. And then they prayed. They prayed. And then they did something that the Jewish people would have done for many, 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 many years. And it's the last time it's recorded in the New Testament. And so it's not really a way that we should pray. Although I do have a no button on my desk. It's not a form of prayer, but sometimes helps me to say no. It doesn't help me at all to say no. I hit the button after I've said yes. So anyway, so these guys prayed. Then this is the prayer. "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over the apostolic ministry which Judas left to go where he belongs." Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias. So he was added to the 11. So the last time they cast lots is this section here. But they prayed, "God, you know our hearts. You know our hearts, so guide us." And a lot of us will pray that same sort of prayer, won't we? But we won't then grab a coin and go, "Heads, I marry Cynthia. Tails, I keep looking." Be heads. You know, we don't do that. We go by our heart and we talk to some friends and we pray and we get to a decision where we believe, yep, God is in this. I mean, we might laugh at that, but it's not heads, I go, tails, I stay. You know, if that's the way we do mission work, I'm going to give you all two-headed coins. Heads, you go. Tails, you stay. You know, because we're all called to go. But they throw lots here, and the lot fell to Matthias. Now, you don't hear of Matthias after this either, so it's an interesting that's all in there. But they were obedient. Why? Because it was prophesied through David that someone had to take their place. Some commentary writers get in a little tizzy about this because they said that the disciples should have waited because the one who should have replaced Judas was, of course, Paul. But Paul himself said he wasn't the right one for that sort of role. He had a different role. Matthias was added to the crew. So here we have prayer, unity, and obedience coming together. Needed for us as the church, needed for us to be followers of Jesus. And then Dave turned us to Acts chapter 2. There's other sections in Acts chapter 2 which we won't look at because as a church we've looked at a number of them in different ways. But this little verse at the end of it says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship and to breaking the bread and to prayer." So again, there's prayer. Has to be there. unity, coming together, to have fellowship, to have that depth of koinonia, which is talks about here, is something amazingly significant. It's not just come, sing a few songs, pat each other on the back and leave. It's that depth of relationship that you will go and do. This week, we've had some amazing things happen as the church. I've shared before, sometimes I get these odd phone calls of people who need help. And sometimes I can help. I've got stuff in my hands that I can do. Other times I'm hopeless. I got a phone call from a guy who lives in Perugian, and he has to move out of his house by the 11th of July. And he's got a three-bedroom unit, that he has to move out of. He's deals with anxiety, major anxiety stresses, and he has no money, and his family are a little bit down in the dumps at the moment. And he'd rung another church, and God bless this other church, they told him to ring us. and he said, I need help shifting. And I go, yeah, good, I'm good. I'm good at helping shifting. That's good. That's easy work. I can do that. How much you got? Three-bedroom unit. I went, excellent. I've got a trailer. Where you need to shift from? I need to shift from Perugian down to Caloundra, where we're going to put it into a storage unit. I went, oh, okay. I've got a trailer. And I said, look, let me throw this out there to the churches. And I'll connect the churches and see if we can do something. And he goes, okay. So I throw it out there. So I go to Manbrain. My trailer's not big enough. I need a bigger trailer. I need a truck. I wonder if I can get a truck from somewhere. I wonder if someone... And I go to a go-to man. I won't embarrass him, but he's an amazing man at fixing stuff up and making things happen. So I ring him and I said, hey, buddy, you able to get hold of a truck? And he said, leave it with me. I'll source that out for you. And I threw out the email to the churches. And by that afternoon, I'd had another church, the Salvation Army, said, yeah, you can borrow a truck. And then I had the Uniting Church say, yeah, we've got some people who got good backs. Well, they're old, but they've got good backs. They're available, and they'll help lift things, light things, not heavy things. And I went, okay, no worries. And then I got a phone call the next day from someone from the Uniting Church, and this is the sort of guy that, you can tell Richie about this guy. He's Richie would love this guy. He goes, all right, Donnie, who's covering the insurance on this thing? What insurance? You know, we're doing this, and you've got to be covered. You just can't go into someone's property these days. You've got to, I guess Quanah Life Baptist will cover the insurance. I guess. All right, who's paying for the truck? Well, no, the truck's going to be donated. Okay, well, who's covering the insurance on the truck, just in case you have an accident from there? Oh, man. Okay, who's writing up the workplace health and safety, and who's doing this? And if someone gets injured, who's... Oh, man. I got a trailer. So at the end of it, he goes, is he putting it into a storage? And I said, yeah, down in Caloundra. And he said, oh, I know that one. That's $400. And they deliver the unit, the container, to your house, and then you pack it, and then they come and take it away. It costs $400. And I went, I got a trailer. And he said, if we collect $400, okay. So I send an email out to the rest of the church. Hey, church, we've got a truck, but... we've got to cover insurances and stuff, so if we can get $400, we can do this. And within an hour, text messages, phone calls, emails, we had $400 donated. Four parts of the body of Christ donated $100 each. And I rang, actually, he rang me, thought I'd rung him that morning and missed call, and I said, no, I didn't ring you. I said, but while I've got you on the phone, and I said, here's plan B, how does that work? And the guy was crying on the end of the phone. He said, that was my plan A, but I didn't think it was right for me to ask. And a trailer was what I thought was good. And he's going, so this is the church? And I went, yeah, this is not just Quanah Life Baptist Church. This is four other churches that have worked together to make this happen. And we're all donating $100. And I said, you organize it, let me know, and I'll go down with my the Lord Blessed Almighty credit card, and I'll pay for it, and we'll recoup the money from the other churches. And he went, wow, I can't believe this. This is incredible. This is amazing. God is so good. And I'm going, oh, okay, cool. He's a Christian. Mm-hmm. Oh, hello. My phone's ringing. He wants the trailer. Sorry, that's my mum. She's just reminding me it's 3 minutes to 11 and I should have finished church by now. But the idea of this is just working together. No, it was my mum. It was. She wants a trailer. No, she doesn't want a trailer. Anyway. No, she's staying in Mount Gravatt. Thank you, Randall. She loves Mount Gravatt. Anyway, the story of this is that the church working together can make amazing challenges. Unity in the body of Christ can do good things. Unity is important. These guys were meeting together and everyone was filled with awe. This guy was filled with awe because people raised $400. What will he see if he gets to see the Holy Spirit at work? I know that's part of it, but if he gets to see the Holy Spirit at work personally in his life. Wow. Many wonders and signs were performed by the apostles, and all believers were together and had everything in common, and they sold property and possessions and they gave to anyone who had need. Hey, this is like this week. They gave to people who had need. They broke bread in their homes, and Father, people here at church, communion is not something that Donnie does. Communion is something you guys can do at home together as a family, as a home group, you know, work together to make it all happen. It's important that we remember Jesus personally and corporately. And they ate bread together in glad and sincere hearts, and they praised God, and they were enjoying the favor of all people, and the Lord added to their number daily. See, coming together in unity, prayer, and obedience brings about the gospel working in people's lives. How many people have heard of a guy called Mr. Finney, Charles Finney? You heard of him? Yeah, he did some preaching. Quite a good itinerant preacher. How many people have heard of a guy called Daniel Nash? Thanks, John. I thought you might know Daniel Nash. Let me read to you what's on Daniel Nash's tombstone. You can't find it in any major cemetery. You've got to go off the road to find Daniel Nash's tombstone. It says this: Daniel Nash, laborer with Finney, mighty in prayer, November 17, 1775 to December 20, 1831. He was 56 years old when he died and went to be with the Lord. But he was a laborer in the field with Finney. He wasn't a preacher like Finney. Finney was the preacher. Finney could preach and preach. You know what Daniel Nash's gift was? It was prayer. He would go into the town before Finney arrived with his crusade, and he would set up a room somewhere in a boarding house. Now, this is not like a hotel or something. This is a room in the house. And he would have the people from the town that they were in, they'd join together, and they'd pray for the work of God when Finney speaks. They would pray. And one of the stories goes that Finney gets a phone call, or they come and visit him, and they grab him and they say, there's something wrong with, they called this guy Father Nash, there's something wrong with Father Nash. He's lying face ground in the ground, face first into the floor, and he hasn't moved for 3 days. And they get there, and there's four other guys on the floor with them, just lying face first. And Finney walks in and goes, that's okay, they're just in prayer. That's what they do. 4 days, 3 days, not unheard of all the time. And they just pray and pray and pray. And Finney would get word to Daniel Nash if things were happening. And he would pray specifically into those areas so that they could be on the same page. They went into one town. The book Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire by Jim Cimbala talks about it a fair depth. It goes into one town, and as they go into the town, there's effigies of Finney and Nash being burnt at the gateway into the town. Welcome. Not, you know, that'd be terrible, wouldn't it? Seeing your effigy just being burnt in the street. So they knew who Daniel Nash was, and who knew Finney was. And Finney saw that and went, finally, people are getting that we're a team and it's not just Finney. My right-hand man is Daniel Nash, who prays and prays and prays. Nash never went to the revival centers. He stayed in his room and prayed and prayed and prayed. And others would come and join him and pray and pray and pray. One time there was a group of young men who came to just destroy everything, both verbally, both physically and everything. And Finney was made aware of it. And so he told Nash, and Nash, for some reason, decided it was time for him to come down. So he came down, and he stood before these men. And he said, if you men do not change your ways within the next week, if you do not give your lives to Jesus and be converted to the work of the Holy Spirit in and through your life, to the plan and purpose God has for you, then you will go to hell. And Finney's just going, oh, calm down, man, calm down. Bit harsh on them. But it was that prophet prayer thing coming through. Within a week, the leader of that group had come to Finney and gave his life to Jesus. That very day, that same leader of that group went back to his group and led the group to Jesus. So what Nash had talked about was true. They all came to faith. It was something real. Prayer is important. But the expectation of prayer bringing about transformation of people's lives is important. This month we're going to give you opportunity to pray as we did today. Pray in the service. Pray on the prayer tree. That's looking a lot better. I think that's better. I think that's way good. Yeah, it's very real. It's full of prayer. Full of prayer. Saying that's full of prayer, let's pray. Father God, you are an amazing God. I love the prayers on that tree. I love the prayers that are in our hearts. But Father, I believe you've got more for us as a church. And so I say loudly and clearly, come Holy Spirit, teach us to pray. Come Holy Spirit and teach us to be unified. Not just in a word, Lord God, but truly unified. Both inside these four walls and across this community with your people, with your church. And Father, I say, come Holy Spirit and help us to be obedient. Lord, I know that passage in James chapter 4, it hits my spirit all the time. And it says, for what I know I need to do and I don't do it, then unto myself it is sin. Lord, I know I need to pray. I know I need to get down on my knees and intercede way, way more than I do. And so, Father, I confess this sin before you and before my family and friends and ask, Lord God, that you would teach me to pray by the power of your Holy Spirit. That like Daniel Nash, if need be, I would lay on my face for a day, for 2 days, for the sake of this church, for the sake of your ministry, for the sake of this community, to travail in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would equip each of us to play our part in prayer for this community. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. For they came together constantly and prayed. The women, the men, the disciples, Jesus' brothers, in unity and in obedience. Glory be to you, Lord Jesus. Amen.